about.
Hey, let's turn on the radio and see what's going on, huh?
Okay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Based on my rule, which is that any animal that can catch a frisbee is not food. That's how I divide the animal kingdom. Throw him a frisbee. If it bounces off his head, he's lunch.
What is it? What is it? What is that? What is that? What is it? Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah! I love my eyes! Eyes! Ah!
Ah! I love you, Poppy.
Like chicken wings?
And now...
Oh, God, this is so bad. You asshole. Both of you, such assholes.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBeat Show. It is Thursday, the 4th of September.
Football.
Football. Woo! Tonight.
Oh, yeah?
How about that?
Say no more.
There's, Lisa, a, thing? You, there's a game.
You couldn't be more excited, right, Lisa?
I could
not.
Yeah?
You're playing your whole day around watching the NFL kickoff.
There's a game.
There's a game on the TV.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Very exciting.
Who are you playing from your fantasy team there, Lisa?
Ravens?
Yeah, it's...
Is that a football team?
It is. But
oh, okay. Ravens.
You don't really draft
but
all
you don't
the
draft
players
the whole team.
I'm trying a new way.
It's your defense, right, Lisa? Your
That's
your
right.
Defense.
Yeah, yes.
By the way, I guess you could do that, right?
You could.
Are there any rules in a fantasy league against just making your whole team one team?
I don't know. I'm not a complete nerd.
Right. That's true. I'll tell you something about Kevin that I have learned over the many years that we've worked together is wow. that he is a voracious reader. You can't.
You can't name
hard.
A book.
You can't name a book he hasn't no. read. You can't name a magazine or a newspaper that he has that he doesn't subscribe to, no. that he doesn't read. I mean, his nose is always online or in some sort of book. So, you know, I try hard to come up with good stories to start the show each day, but it's hard to find one Kevin hasn't seen because he's
sure.
read it all.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, if it's from India News Daily, seen it. You know, St. Paul Pioneer Press out of Minnesota. Oh, yeah, I get that at home. So pretend you haven't heard the story, Kevin, because I know you still get the veterinary right. practice news.
Sure.
But this is great. The story starts from a guy in Portland, Oregon, who notices that his dog is not feeling well. Sluggish, won't eat, hacking up.
Mm.
He takes the dog to the vet. It's a Great Dane, by the way. And they x-ray the dog to find out if there could be something that could be causing some discomfort. 3-year-old Great Dane. And they see just a mass of something in – they can't tell what it is. Something's going on in his stomach. And they say, we're going to have to go in there. He's got – we don't know what it is.
What could he have eaten?
What couldn't he have eaten?
Oh.
Well, in this case,
right.
he ate 43 and a half socks. So socks, apparently, I don't know why the guy didn't notice how many of his socks were disappearing.
Yeah, how many socks does that guy have?
That would be all my socks times
right,
three.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. 43 and a half socks. The article says the
and
supersized...
what a pussy dog that he couldn't finish that last one.
He's so cool.
The super... Well, I think what happened is he probably ate 44, but half of it got digested out.
Oh.
That's what my guess is. That's why there would be a half a sock left, because it was still in his stomach, right?
Yummy.
We opened up his stomach, and we kept removing sock after sock of all different shapes and sizes, says Dr. Ashley McGee of the Dove Lewis Animal Hospital in Portland, Oregon. The supersized pooch had shown a hankering for socks before, but the extent of the problem was not apparent until he got sick and the x-ray showed the contents of his belly. So the vet there were so impressed by what was going on with the Great Dane that they submitted them into an annual contest that apparently is being held at Veterinary Practice News called They Ate What? They won the $500 third prize.
Yes.
They came in third for the year, by the way.
Uh-oh.
In second place was a pet frog who had eaten 30 rocks from the bottom of his cage.
What the hell's happening?
You should see that x-ray, by the way.
They had surgery on a pet frog.
Pet frog, yeah. I had surgery on a pet hedgehog once, Lisa.
Really?
I just tweeted out, by the way, at Clyde Tumbaugh, if you want to check it out, all of the winning entries in this year's x-rays of all the various things that pets ate. First prize this year was a German short-haired pointer who swallowed a metal shish kebab skewer.
Whoa. And didn't pierce anything?
Yep, didn't pierce anything.
That's amazing.
The vet in that story says the owner came in and said he swallowed a metal shish kebab skewer, and I said, no, he didn't. And they said, please x-ray.
Wow.
He's like, I'm telling you, that's not what it was. And they x-rayed it, and sure enough, that's what it was. And that is a frightening x-ray, too, to see something that's that long and sharp and made out of metal inside a dog's stomach. So.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, as far as I know, from looking at it, all these animals recovered. It's good that they took them into the vet. They're all doing fine, and just keep an eye on what they're eating. There's one dog in there who ate 5 rubber ducks. Every time the rubber duck would disappear from her son's bathtub, she would just go out and buy another one. Just
what
figured
the
kid
hell?
Had put it somewhere. He ate five. This dog ate 5 of them.
He must have just squeaked when he walked.
He must have. Anyway, check out the x-rays. It's a great way to start your day.
That's our new feature.
You ate what?
Beer mug. Let's check beer mug.
Yeah. We could have a new feature on this show. Give me some echo. Please call.
All right. Yes.
Let's check out the x-rays.
Is that as good as you ate what?
All right.
Like it matters at this point. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Despite its large bulbous head, its brain is small.
We have Terry Bradshaw on the program today.
That's impressive. Even I know
that.
Who that is.
Even you know who that is.
Yes.
He played for the...
I don't know. But I know who he is.
Uh-huh. He played the position of...
Quarterback?
Yeah! Oh, what a guess.
There's
what
such a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just trying to figure out if you... Because you said you know who he is.
No, I totally know who he is. He's blonde. I've seen him on TV.
You've seen him on the pregame show.
Yeah.
Okay. Played football for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. We have Dash Myhawk coming in. He's on the show Ray Donovan, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that show. We have you got in a fight at a wedding. Looking for a lot of those kind of stories. Love that. And a brand new internet roundup coming up. And we've got your Sunset Music Festival tickets coming up just after 6.
Okay.
So it's about a half hour from now. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Yeah, you are. And that means it's Ralph Berman time here on the show. What's going on, Ralph?
I heard your charming opening segment. We talked about dogs eating skewers and socks and things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated by your new segment. They ate what? I think that's what it's called?
Right? I think so, yeah.
Not to interject any humanity into the show, because I know pets are more important than people.
They ate what?
On this show. But there was a fascinating story also about a human being who ate something interesting. Her name was Christina Schlegel, and she was at Zales, a jewelry store.
Oh, boy.
The 25-year-old.
She ate what?
Was at the jewelry store, and the salesperson said, hey, you're trying to steal that ring. I'm calling the cops. And the cops showed up, and the ring was nowhere to be found.
Oh. And
the cops determined that she swallowed the evidence.
Yay!
So now they put her in jail.
I was going to ask if they assigned a cop to follow her around.
No, they've assigned Christine to take care of her own business.
Okay.
She has the assignment now where she is given instructions on how to retrieve the evidence, and she needs to pay close attention to every time she uses the toilet there in the cell.
Wow.
She needs to go through everything personally and is not allowed to flush until someone comes in and examines her handiwork.
That is not what you want.
And then she has to give them the shout-out when she retrieves the evidence.
Wow,
hey, I got a diamond ring in mine. Woohoo!
I love the cop in that story who said, I don't get paid enough to look through somebody else's poop for evidence.
No one does.
Yeah, they can do that on their own.
Exactly. I didn't know there was such thing until that article, Ralph, as a non-flushing toilet that they have an option to put you in a jail cell for just for occasions like this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, considering the drugs and other things that
this
world, makes sense. Speaking of getting paid enough, Forbes magazine released its list of 2014's top 10 highest-grossing TV actresses yesterday. Now, this is salary, but also endorsement and licensing deals. So you think you'd be surprised at who makes what. Lena Dunham from Girls makes $3.5 million a year. That put her 10th on the list. This is over the past 12 months.
Okay.
I thought that would have been more as she created,
she
wrote,
got that much
stars.
for her book advance, you know, her book, too.
Huh. All right.
I think they take some money away from her every time she takes her clothes off. On
is that
show,
right?
Though. There's some sort of penalty.
Yeah.
Well, some sort of
penalty.
Out of my eyes!
Penalty.
I love that show, but I don't tune into it for the nudity. That's for sure.
Claire Danes on Homeland, $5 million.
Wow.
Then is a three-way tie between Kerry Washington of Scandal, Zooey Deschanel, and Courtney Cox, each making $6 million a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Mindy Kaling of The Mindy Project, $6.5 million. Amy Poehler from Parks and Rec, $7 million. She was sixth on the list. Allison Hannigan, How I Met Your Mother, made $9.5 million.
Wow.
Wow.
Fifth on the list. Then another three-way tie, Juliana Margulies from The Good Wife, Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, and Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother, each made $10 million over the past year. Kelly Cuoco from Big Bang Theory, $11 million.
Yes.
Put her at number three.
I mean,
are we belling? Because we could have belled a bunch of girls on this
Yeah,
list.
Exactly. I just think there's too many in a row.
Mariska Hargitay, Law & Order SVU, was second on the list with $13 million over the past year.
Okay.
Who was number one?
Adele Dazzy.
She did not make the list this year. Adele was number 11.
Who is number one of the highest paid women on TV?
That's what I just asked.
I'm going to take a guess. I was waiting for her on the list, and it is Melissa McCarthy.
Not in the top 10.
I just guessed that because of all the money I thought she made for movies.
Well, this is top 10 grossing TV actresses. This is TV salary and endorsement deals.
Oh, no other. Okay, gotcha. That explains why the book price wasn't on the Lena
thing. I don't know.
Who else is on TV that we love, you guys?
Trying to think.
Network or cable?
It is a network. She works on a network.
We're terrible people.
First name. What's her first name?
I'm not telling your first name.
Just
I'm not
going to
tell your first name. It'll
first
be a giveaway.
Half of the first name.
No.
Rhymes with. How about rhymes with?
I want to try and figure it out.
That's not figuring out. That's me telling you what it is.
Is it a sitcom or a drama?
It is a sitcom.
Sitcom. I don't watch
which
any.
Network?
What night? What time?
ABC.
Oh, ABC.
Oh, it's got to be Sophia Vergara. Yeah.
Sophia Vergara, beer mug. You win.
Yay, beer mug.
Nicely done.
It's Modern
never been
Family.
Said before in life.
$37 million is what she made.
Oh, she does so many endorsements.
Wait. Diet Pepsi, CoverGirl, Head & Shoulders, AT&T, a medication called Synthroid, which I've never even heard
stuff.
Of.
That's good stuff.
But that and her salary all put together, $37 million is what she made over the past
I'm sorry, Ralph. What was number two? What was the number?
Mariska Hargitay made $13
million. 13, and she makes 30. Oh,
more than twice.
God.
Sophia Vergara made more than twice.
That's crazy.
Now I see what Joe Manganiello sees in her.
Yeah.
Finally. He couldn't just, by looking at her, you wouldn't want to hook up with her, right?
No.
But now you know she's making that kind of coin. Cha-ching.
That's amazing.
You know what else is amazing? Freaking British GQ magazine. What the F? That's right, I said it. What the F? I used that letter. British GQ magazine named Kim Kardashian Woman of the Year.
What?
Woman of the Year.
Oh, God, don't encourage
her. In their
her.
New magazine. She's the Woman of the Year. Now, I'm sure it's just coincidence, but she also shot a nude photo shoot for their magazine this month. I'm sure that has nothing to do with why they named her Woman of the Year, however. I'm sure that was not conditional upon her getting naked for the pages of British GQ magazine. But she was at the awards this week, and they handed her the award, and she was very pissy about it. She was just not a good person. She was very cranky because they announced her as Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It's Kim Kardashian West, though. What a huge, huge, huge honor to win Woman of the Year. And I want to thank my husband for making me feel like Woman of the Year every single day.
It's Kim Kardashian West.
Okay.
There wasn't much she could say because there's not a damn thing she does.
They have a
to
band there that could have played her off immediately when she said Kim Kardashian West.
She makes me feel like the Woman of the Year every day. Wouldn't that be the Woman of the Day? Or Woman of the Year every year? There's something. Give me a calendar. There's something wrong about that statement.
How can they even come close to justifying that?
There's no justification.
That's absurd.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I wonder what their criteria are. Based on what is she Woman of the Year?
Women willing to get naked for the pages of British GQ.
Okay.
Yeah.
But British GQ, don't they still do partial? Don't they cover it up?
Yeah, it was partial news. Yeah, she was covering up her nipples and what have you. But it's Kim Kardashian West.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hateable.
Let's take a look.
It's Kim. Kim Kardashian West, though.
So, no. So that's my name.
Can't we start calling her Kim Kardashian Humphreys West?
I like it.
If she's starting to tack on names to all her husbands. And find out what the other guy's name was, too. We'll throw him on there, too.
Good idea.
Maybe Ray J. Maybe they're Ray J in the middle of it. Kim Kardashian Ray J Humphreys West.
Porn star.
Today's celebrity birthdays. TV host, Loveline host, medical professional? Two out of three ain't bad. Dr. Drew, he is 56 years old today. He really should go to med school and get a degree.
He's
going to call himself a doctor. I'm just saying he should probably go the whole nine yards.
He has a degree, is
and
a doctor.
Be a doctor as well.
He is a legal doctor.
Damon Wayans is 54 years old today. Songwriter Liam Lynch. Oh, my God. Is that Liam Lynch?
I don't know.
Bean would know.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember. What was that song that we played by him?
Well, My United States of Whatever. I remember that one.
That's right.
But wasn't
that's right, yeah.
Shoes? What didn't he do with that?
No, I don't think was he was Shoes. I think it was somebody else.
Yeah, he's good though. We like him.
Sure.
Wes Bentley's 36 years old. Max Greenfield of New Girl is 34. Beyonce Knowles celebrates her 33rd birthday today, and Whitney Cummings is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. If you want to go to the Sunset Strip Music Festival, call now 1-800-520-1067. We're going to let you play a little game called Lick Lisa. Call now. We'll play next.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you later this hour. And the great Terry Bradshaw, NFL Hall of Famer, joins us just after 7. First, though, this is great. All week long, we have been giving away VIP passes to the Sunset Strip Music Festival. It's happening soon, September 20th and 21st. Jane's Addiction will be there, Empire of the Sun, Tovlo, Big Data, Cold War Kids, so much more. We're giving away passes to the Bud Light backstage area as well right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to, Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her vagina.
All these rules. I hate all these rules.
Christine looks so sad.
Dang it. That's the reason she came in here.
I know.
I tried to get that would change forever.
Kevin, why don't you explain to the folks on hold and those listening as well how this game is played.
All right. I'm going to ask a question that has an answer that is a number. Lisa's going to answer it.
Yes.
And then you as the phone caller and the contestant, all you have to do is say the actual answer is higher, the actual answer is lower, or she's right on. And then if you're right, then you go into the drawing.
Okay.
Then
Lisa gets licked by assistant producer Christine, who's in studio with us right now. Let's start with line one. We'll just take him in order. Brian is going to be up first. He's calling from the mean streets of Compton. Brian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
What's up, Holmes?
What is up, Holmes, indeed?
All right, listen up. Here's the advice I give to you and the other callers. Remember, Lisa answers first, and then you just tell us higher, lower, or the same. Here's question number one.
All right, the Sunset Strip refers to about a mile and a half of Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. One of the most prominent clubs there is the Whiskey A Go-Go. Speaking of whiskey, a lot of people have problems drinking too much. Lisa, your question is, what percentage of people who drink alcohol in the United States admit that they probably drink too much? What percentage?
Percentage.
They drink too much. They admit it themselves.
God, that's a tough one. I'm going to say like 15%.
15%. All right. Brian, higher, lower, or the same?
No, man. This is America. It's got to be more.
It is. It's 22%.
22.
Nicely done.
All right.
Great logic. Well thought. All right. So you're on hold. You might win the tickets. Christine, where are you going to lick
Christine.
First up?
I'm going to go for the back of the neck.
Back of the neck.
Nice.
One of my favorite parts. Nice.
This is a great way to start the day, by the way.
Sure is.
Consider this game more often.
Crystal in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you. All right, here's your question. Not your question, Lisa's question. Okay. Jane's Addiction is headlining one night at the Sunset Strip Music Festival. One of Jane's Addiction's biggest songs is Been Caught Stealing. Okay. Lisa, speaking of stealing, in the year 2013, how many times did people in the United States report stolen property?
Oh,
how many
for
times
God's sake.
In the United States last year did people say, call up and say they had something stolen?
I don't know. 3 million.
3 million. All right. Crystal, is that right on, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
Let's say lower.
What? Sorry, it's 9,767,000 times.
And that's just the people that report it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I bet the actual number is five times that, don't
you?
Yeah.
I bet.
So that was a terrible guess, Crystal. You were so close. Thank you for playing.
All right, let's go to John in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
All right.
That's all we got. Big Data is a band playing the second day, but the words Big Data also refer to the massive amounts of information available in today's computer society via the Internet. Many people connect to the Internet using their cell phones. Lisa does a commercial for all of them. Lisa, approximately how many cell phones are in use right now in the world?
In the world?
How many cell phones are being used right now in the world?
Oh, my God. I can't.
How many cell phones are being used in the world?
I think we've got the question. We're just waiting for an answer.
In the world.
Well, there's about 7 billion people.
All right, then let's say 1 billion.
1 billion. All right, John, is that right, or is it too low or too high?
It's higher.
It is higher. That's correct. Yeah, 4.6 billion phones.
Wow.
Rad.
And by the way, a lot of people in this world don't have phones, so
yeah.
That's like...
But I have five.
That's Lisa, who hogs up all the phones, right.
Christine,
all right. Congratulations. You look Lisa.
Let's do your ankle.
Ooh.
Ankle? Is that a first?
Get right down there.
I think it is a first. Oh. Wow.
But not a last.
Wow.
We'll go back there again.
How about that?
All right, we have time for one more contestant, I think. Who's up?
Javier in San Pedro. Hi.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you. All right. Empire of the Sun is headlining night number two of the Sunset Strip Music Festival. They are an Australian electronic music duo from Sydney, formed in 2007. Sydney, of course, is in Australia. One of the biggest attractions in Australia is the Great Barrier Reef, where people travel from all over the world to scuba dive, which
sure.
Lisa has just picked up, by the way.
Yeah.
Lisa, speaking of scuba diving, how many people, on average, per year, are killed by sharks while scuba diving near Australia?
Oh, I don't think it's that many.
How many people get killed per year by sharks while scuba diving?
I'm going to say it's like 10.
10?
This is not that many.
All right, let's go to Javier. Is the actual answer higher, lower, or is that right?
I say higher.
Higher than 10. The actual answer is 1.
They don't like scuba divers.
They don't like scuba divers.
No, they like surfers.
Unless you're aggressive toward them or they think you're food, they will not attack.
Oh, I feel so much better.
All right.
I got one pretty close to right.
Well, we only had two in the drawing. Did I recall that correctly?
Yes.
Just Brian and Crystal. It's going to be one of them is going to win tickets for the Sunset Strip Music Festival.
Brian,
who's it going to be?
It's Brian.
Yay!
Brian won?
Brian.
What do I do now?
Or Brian?
Brian,
oh. Brian's on line one? No? Gone?
I don't see him.
He seems gone.
Way to be, Brian.
Hey, way to go, man.
Yay, Brian.
Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Lisa.
Lick Lisa, but keep clear of her vagina.
We're going to do a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup here in a couple of minutes. We've got to take care of some business first, you guys. You know, we've been running the theme song that former producer Lightning did for us years ago. And we started thinking a while ago, hey, maybe it's time to update the theme. And we've been kind of putting out the word a little bit that if anyone wants to submit a new Internet Roundup theme, we're all ears. And I think we have a couple now. It might be worth kind of going through and seeing what we want to do.
I'd like to suggest that after hearing these, you might want to go back to the OG.
Oh, really? Not a lot of improvement so far?
This is the original theme song.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet.
Right, so that's the original.
Okay.
And then Muggs made a copy of that that song where he is straight out of Compton. And this is it.
Yeah, brace yourself. Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. It's Kevin and Beans, yo, Internet Roundup.
A lot of gunfire.
Yep.
I like that. I like that one.
It's not bad, right?
Hey, it was the last gunshot.
I don't know. It's edited out.
But we said, you know, we heard, hey, if mugs can do it, anyone can do it. I mean, that's pretty much our role in life. So we thought we'd open it up. And we have actually had some listeners submit and some old friends have come by, too.
Well, yes. Omar also made a backup. And I'm not positive that you're going to like it, Bean. But I'll play it so that we can all vote.
I hop on the internet. I want to see girls take a but to my dismay, this is what I get. The internet roundup.
Is that a
okay?
A
we have a front runner. All right.
Yeah, I'm in.
So noted. So thanks for playing.
Listener Nick McGee sent in this one.
Okay.
Gather round your computer, jump on the internet, take a load off your mind, just let it go for a bit. Clickety click, click, click on every video clip. Some sexy, some slick, some other funniest. So grab a sack of nuts and turn the sound up. It's the latest and the greatest, the bestest and the bestest, the dopest and the strangest episode. Yeah, it's the latest and the greatest, the bestest and the bestest, the dopest and the strangest episode.
What's happening? That's a full-scale musical. That's impressive.
You threw everything in there.
And our old friend Linda Polly.
Linda Polly!
She sent in a theme, yeah.
Now, she talks to John Lennon. She talks to God, right?
Well, John Lennon does write a lot of her music.
Mm-hmm.
He hands it to her, and then she sends it out to the world. I'm not positive John Lennon wrote this theme.
Okay.
This is her theme.
First of all, voice of an angel.
Second of all, John Lennon is really slipping in his songwriting ability.
Well, when you've been dead for 35 years, let's see how good you are.
I think that just went number one on Beatport right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's just awesome.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll take a break, but then when we come back, we've got a brand new internet roundup.
Producer Dave, King of Mexico, in studio with us. He's the guy who puts all the viral videos of the week together in one handy location right at krock.com or kevinandbean.com, and we call it the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean, they have a great show, but they do something there that you might not know. But they find Molly also, Penny also, you won't have to. They call Kevin and me, Internet Roundup, yeah, yeah.
Sing it, Linda. Sing it, Linda. Okay, thank you. I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, Kevin, but I do remember at one time that you said once Gerald Pauly was out of the way and Linda was single, you were going to make her yours. Whatever happened with that? You can follow through. Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. I don't think she's been out here
in
forever, but when she does, she's mine.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And guys, I can confirm that it was John Lennon who wrote that song.
John Lennon wrote that.
Yeah. Wow. Linda Pauly confirmed it herself on Twitter. Yeah,
that's very impressive. All right, Dave, got a great batch of videos that you've selected for us this week. Let's start with New Zealand's haka dance. This is one of the strangest things you'll ever see at a sporting event. Now, is this exhibition basketball? These are all USA players.
This is the FIBA World Cup of basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's USA versus New Zealand. New Zealand's team is the Tall Blacks. That's what the name of the club is. And they do this thing before the game begins where it's like you're watching some National Geographic video of warriors in the jungle. They do this dance, this intense, like, stare-down dance that really kind of had the USA team a little bit uncomfortable. Here's some of what that sounded like.
Like dancing all together, and they're beating their chests, and they're staring down the other team, and then they went out and lost by 25.
It's kind of like stepping, though. It was kind of like stepping, so I dug it. Yeah, you know, they were doing the whole slapping the chest, slapping the knees.
But if you're going to do that, and you're going to stare them down, you're going to stop practice, you're going to kind of do a routine, I don't know, maybe you should win.
My favorite part of the dance, though, is noticing that even in New Zealand, the white people have no rhythm.
Well, that's true.
Up next is we oftentimes will show these videos that are taken in Russia from the dashboard cams. And people always say, why does everybody in Russia have a dashboard cam? It's so rare in America. It's because of two things. There's lots of police intimidation and corruption that goes on. So you kind of protect yourself if you have a dashboard cam. And secondly, there's tons of insurance fraud. People will claim that you hit their car and you want to be able to prove that you didn't or whatever. So that's why you see so many of these from Russia. This one you have to watch. It's one of the strangest things you've ever seen. It's a bus that is behind a car, and we don't really see why there's some sort of an altercation, but they're both stopped in the middle of the street. The guy in the car gets out and comes and knocks on the door of the bus. Out from the bus streams, how many, Dave? Five, six furries?
I would say five or six, and I wouldn't say they're furries, but...
One of them SpongeBob, one of them's Mickey Mouse,
yeah,
there's a couple of bears.
They're definitely costume characters.
This is so weird, I don't believe it. You know what I mean? Like, you look
you know how we always question these videos?
Yeah.
I believe this
you
one
do.
Is a setup. Yeah,
oh,
I think
well,
this one's a setup. Not fake, but a setup.
They go to the guy who was knocking on the door of the bus, and they kick the crap out of him. And the people behind the wheel in the car, you know, the car and traffic behind them, you can hear on this this clip from the video, are they're just laughing their asses off at what they're seeing in front of them.
No idea what they're saying, but it is awesome to watch.
You don't want to get beat up by Mickey Mouse in the middle of the street. That's for sure. We haven't been playing much Mumford & Sons lately, but if you miss them, here's a guy who does a video called Every Mumford & Sons Song, basically.
And I will wake up all my neighbor's kids. And I will sing until the cows come home.
Oh. Yeah. That's about right. That's pretty much every Mumford song ever.
Pretty close.
Up next is a supercut from the great NBC sitcom called Parks and Recreation. This is Aubrey Plaza, who plays April on the show. And I don't think we ever found out why she's so mean to Anne, played by Rashida Jones. But every time she sees her, she has a new insult for her. And somebody has edited together all of them from the show so far.
As you remember, I'm April, and this is Anne, my 65-year-old grandmother.
I'm sorry I said you were lame, okay? You are, but...
What, Anne? I just stole your phone and texted every guy in it that the baby was there. It's not that big of a deal.
I wasn't listening. But I strongly disagree with Anne. I will kill you slowly with a giant syringe.
and it just goes on like that.
It's
minute
never
after
explained.
Minute. No, there's no reason why they don't like each other.
I love
it. It's hilarious. John Oliver is doing a great show. Where's he? Is he HBO?
HBO, yeah. HBO on Sunday nights.
Sunday nights, it's real. He's a Daily Show correspondent, and he's really doing some great work over there. Really, really fun. And he did a segment where he started reading fan mail, well, really internet YouTube comments about his show. So he's responding to things that viewers of his show have had to say about him.
I don't even understand why the audience is laughing, which I hope was a comment on the seriousness of the subject matter, and not a referendum on the comedy contained. Either way, it cannot possibly be more hurtful than the comment on the same video reading, John Oliver's face does look like a parrot.
And it goes on and on. By the way, I feel very dumb when I watch his show because he's so much smarter than I am.
Yeah, so in the vein of The Daily Show and Colbert, it's really good.
He teaches
really
good. Me so much about the world, though.
Yeah, and he always brings up stories that I wouldn't normally care about or pay attention to.
So yep, but makes him interesting.
It makes him interesting, yeah.
He also did a very funny video along with his co-host Cookie Monster where they're doing a newscast where they're teaching you the meaning of and how to spell certain words. I think we pick it up here where Al Roker is doing the weather. Again, John Oliver and Cookie Monster.
3 feet of gifts in the southern plains.
L. Yeah, me believe it pronounced GIF.
I don't need this. All right, I'm out of here.
Wow. He really stormed out of there.
Oh!
You get it.
Me no get it.
No, you do, because he's a weather. He's a weatherman.
Weatherman?
He's a weatherman. He talks about weather.
But he left.
But he left at speed.
Oh!
So you're taking a word.
Oh!
You get it?
No.
The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon is up next on this all-new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. He had Adam Levine on from Maroon 5, one of the judges on The Voice, and they were playing a game called The Wheel of Musical Impressions, where you sang a song in the style of a popular singer. Adam Levine, very impressive, by the way. I'm not a huge Maroon 5 fan, but he surprised me here. He does a little Frank Sinatra, then he does a little of the Sesame Street theme as Michael Jackson, and then he closes with some Eddie Vedder. Again, this is all Adam Levine.
head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Sunny day, sweeping the clouds away. You know the Muffin Man, Muffin Man, Muffin Man.
Pretty talented.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. Speaking of talent, what's the story with the YouTube channel, Dave, of the guy who does songs in so many different styles?
A 10-second song, or was it?
Yeah, it is 10 seconds.
10-second songs.
Yeah, he just likes doing all these covers, and you know he'll do pop songs, hip hop songs, and now a rock song where he just does different styles.
It's incredible. He's doing Linkin Park in the end this time around, and it's like a 4-minute song, and he does it in 20 different styles, one right after another. And this segment that we pulled is him doing his Korn, a little bit of Beatles, and then Bob Marley, all on the Linkin Park song.
That's talent.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And finally for this week, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel, who's doing great work over there, Late Nights on ABC, did a very funny sort of a kind of a Friends reunion. He had Jennifer Aniston on as a guest, and he wrote some fan fiction that he was going to act out with Jennifer Aniston. Courtney Cox shows up, and then Lisa Kudrow shows up. And Jimmy does not think that they are taking it very seriously.
What happened to Joey?
Yeah.
Where's Chandler? They're not in the script.
They're dead. Yeah, Marcel the monkey bit them and gave them monkey rabies, and they died. Now, can everyone please try acting like you've been on a TV set before and read the lines? This isn't some kind of improv camp. This is television.
Oh, my God.
You can see all of these videos and so much more at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com. It's this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet
I support that one just for the quality.
Yeah.
Quality is it. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:52.
Terry Bradshaw talks week one of the NFL. Coming up right after the top of the hour on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
The official song of the summer.
The official what?
Song of the summer.
Okay.
It's been named. It's been tagged. It's been defined. This whole summer, it's over. The summer's over. And now they have crowned a winner.
All right.
The official song of the summer. The song of the summer.
Birthday.
No, it's not that.
What?
It's my candle blowing birthday.
I didn't hear anything better than that.
No. Was it Ariana Grande's problem? Grande? Ariana Grande's problem? Was it that?
That's a good choice.
Was it?
No, I don't think so.
No, it wasn't.
I don't
Kevin.
Think so.
No, not at all.
No.
Was it Rude by Magic?
I hope not.
I hope not.
Rude!
That's a terrible song.
By Magic!
Don't you know I'm human, too?
F you.
Should white guys be allowed to do reggae?
What's up with that guy? Come on.
No, that guy's horrible.
Stop it.
It was a big song, though.
All right, wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Yeah, that's it. That's number one.
Here's my choice.
We are gonna get Osama and his troops. And his mom.
Is that it? That's the song of the summer.
Don't spit out your coffee, Ralph.
You think it might be Kevin?
Gonna get Osama and his troops and his mom.
See, I'm not sure we ever got his mama, so it's still relevant.
Ralph, I've got it.
I don't know what he's doing in that corner.
Come back, Ralph. You're okay,
he's
buddy.
Not to...
He's got his mouth full of coffee. He's trying not to spit it out.
I couldn't commit. I couldn't spit it out. I couldn't swallow. I was in that no man's land between choking to death and spitting the coffee out.
I actually have it. I should have said something, but I read the article.
Oh,
so
stop it. We're not that long a segment.
Shut up when I'm talking to you. Shut up when I'm talking to you. Shut up.
No, according to the Hot 100, spending 7 weeks at number one this summer, Billboard.com says, Fancy by Iggy Azalea, number one song of the summer.
I'm so fancy.
Yeah.
Can't you taste this girl?
Yeah.
Remember my name.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, great. A kid from Compton like her can come out and just have all that success. And
she's Australian and white and just faking the accent. Isn't that what's going on
here?
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's from Sydney.
My
don't you know
murder,
I'm human, too?
My murder business.
Shut up, Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, song of the summer, man.
Yeah. The video.
I'm so fancy, you already know I'm in the fast lane from L.A. to Tokyo.
A very popular Neil Young cover version of the song of the summer.
Is it not Weird Al?
See, there's Weird Al's cover of that. Handy.
He's correct.
Handy.
I like it.
Any other versions we want to get through?
I think that's probably enough.
All righty. Britney Spears broke up with her boyfriend, David Lucado, because, well, there was a video of him having sex with another girl. But really? Is that a reason to break up with someone?
She's pretty uptight.
She really is. My favorite part of the story now, David is claiming, while he enjoyed the company of another lady... They were on a break.
That's legitimate.
Old Ross and Rachel defense. So they were on a break.
We need some time off equals he's banging other chicks. He doesn't like that.
Here is the timeline of the break.
Okay.
According to TMZ.com, Britney Spears had a big argument with him and gave him the boot via text message on August the 6th. He had a big fight. She said, "It's it. I'm done." August the 6th. August the 7th. He's banging this other lady on the video. August the 8th, they got back together again. Britney Spears and this guy.
Sounds technically okay.
I think he hit the window.
He did.
I don't think they should break up. I think she should give him another chance.
Yeah.
So, that's happening. Hey, great news.
We'll be the judge of that.
You're going to be excited.
All right.
We've got a new heat wave. Heat wave is coming.
Heat Wave.
Dominic Purcell from Prison Break, the actor,
right,
will be playing Heat Wave on the upcoming Flash TV series.
Oh, yeah, Heat Wave for Heat
a person?
Wave.
Heat Wave is arch villain Heat Wave. Mick Rory, hello? The pyromaniac?
Does he make temperatures uncomfortably hot?
He burns stuff. He's Heat Wave with his heat gun. He's going to team up with Captain Cold.
Captain Cold.
They're not even trying. Who will be played by his old Prison Break co-star, Wentworth Miller, playing Captain Cold.
Captain
so they're getting back
Cold.
Together. Heat Wave and Captain Cold. Two of the Flash's rogues.
Come on.
On television. Very exciting. And Kim Kardashian is complaining about how she's portrayed in the press.
Really?
Yes. First of all, she says it's Kim Kardashian West. In fact, she says when she signs autographs now, she just signs KK West. That's her new moniker, KK West. She was accepting the GQ Woman of the Year award in the UK. The British version of the magazine gave out their awards and gave her the Woman of the Year award.
Now, what criteria could they possibly have figured into that?
Biggest ass in a selfie? I don't know what the criteria is. Really.
I mean, really, there couldn't have been any except for you'll do a photo shoot for
Well, she did do a nude photo layout for the magazine, so perhaps that influenced their decision about how to give away
the
award.
She's not really done much of anything.
No, they said, look, if you do the photo shoot, we'll give you an award. So she got up there, and they introduced her as Kim Kardashian. And she corrected them in a very curt way. But then she said afterwards in an interview on BBC Radio, they announced me as Kim Kardashian. And I hate that people online say mean things about me, because when I got up there, I said, it's Kim Kardashian West. I was being playful and cute, she said.
Really?
Let's go to the tape and see if we can hear her being playful and cute.
It's Kim Kardashian West, though. What a huge, huge, huge honor to win Woman of the Year. And I want to thank my husband for making me feel like Woman of the Year every single day.
Hmm. Cute and playful or bitchy?
I'm not going with cute and or playful.
No, I'll go with bitchy. I'll go with bitchy.
Yeah, bitchy. Wow.
Either that or she doesn't know how to be cute and playful. Maybe she's got like one
Maybe
of those
she's trying
syndromes where she can't connect up with people and she's like, that was me. That was me being cute and playful.
I was being funny.
Oh, see how funny it was? Did you hear the crowd laughing?
And by the way, learn from Rebecca Romaine Stamos and just keep whatever name made you famous in show business and use the married name in your real life.
End up back there anyway.
Right.
Soon.
Now we're going to have to unlearn West.
That's right.
She'll just be KK at some point.
Yeah.
Without anything else. Today's celebrity birthdays. Whitney Cummings is 32. Beyonce Knowles is 33. Max Greenfield from New Girl is 34 years old. Wes Bentley, the actor, turns 36. Damon Wayans is 54. Our very own Dr. Drew celebrates his 56th birthday today. He's dreamy.
He's 56?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
He's in what an a-hole.
Best shape of anyone ever.
He is.
All handsome and talented and having TV shows and stuff. Hate him.
All buff and whatnot.
And Liam Lynch! Liam Lynch!
Not ever. No way.
Liam Lynch.
No way. No way. What is this garbage?
Man responsible for that, as well as My United States of Whatever and many other popular funny songs. He's 44 years old.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
It's true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hit it, Steve.
Timing.
Timing.
You want to try it again? We can try it again.
Let's try it one more time.
Hit it, Steve.
That's beautiful.
Our next guest has been a television football analyst for 30 years, if you can believe that, and is currently a co-host for Fox's NFL Sunday. I am told he also used to play some football before he started on television, but the internet doesn't go back that far, so there's actually no record of that.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Terry Bradshaw back on the Kevin DeBee Show. Yeah. Hi, Terry.
There's a lot of things that didn't go back when I played. Leather helmet.
I know. Yeah, 1970 to 1984, I want to say. Is that about right? 14 years with the Steelers,
83,
right? 83.
If you want to be technically correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Terry, what kind of, you know, I think about the first day of school back when I was going to school. And there are two kinds of kids that show up on day one. There are the kids who are so sad and bummed out that summer's over. Oh, my God, I got to go back to school. And then there are kids who are so excited about what the new year is going to bring. When football season rolls around, which type are you?
Well, I'm the kid that doesn't want to go to school.
Are you?
I definitely tell you that. I have.
You'd
to
rather
get,
be out fishing somewhere.
It takes me seriously, Kevin. It takes me, oh gosh, a good month because. It's a 17, 18, 19, 20, it's 20-week season.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Traveling to Los Angeles every weekend when you're used to, you know, not having to go to the coast nearly that often. I get away from football like I used to when I played. When the last game was over, I dreaded when I had to, you know, had to get up because I was a rancher,
right?
And I enjoyed the ranching part, and I had to leave that country life and go to a city life and the pressure of performing. And while I loved the performing part of football, I didn't like leaving my home. And this is not quite like that. I like for the season to get going, and I always tell my friends who are fantasy football freaks. Look, you know, don't ask me. I have no clue what's
right.
going on. I don't watch preseason games. I go to Hawaii, and at the end of the summer, I spent a couple of months over there, and I don't watch any football. I don't read about it. I don't read a newspaper. I have no clue what's going on, which is the way I like it. And so it takes me a while to get jacked up because, really, it's just, you know, it's just kind of an endurance race here, and it takes 6 weeks. We start getting an idea who's good, who's bad, and then it starts to get to be fun. I always tell them, look, you really want to know, 10 weeks is when the football season starts. The 10th week of the year, you can start getting excited because you know that there's always a surprise here.
Right.
And there's always a disappointment. There's always
yep.
a player that elevates. There's one that goes the other way. There's injuries. And it's exciting. I always like newness to it. School and the NFL is doing the games on television is fun. It's fun. It's a long day, but it's fun. Going to school is not a good comparison because
yeah.
I wasn't a good student. I did not like going to school.
Well, you had a backup plan. You didn't need to be that good at school,
exactly.
Terry.
I had a backup plan, all right.
You've got – it's such a – I mean, there's a reason why it's America's number one pregame show. Howie and Michael and Jimmy Johnson, you guys – and Kurt Metcalf, you guys really do look like you're having the time of your life, and you love to razz each other, don't you? I mean, and it seems like that is all spontaneous. You guys love to pick on one another just like siblings.
You know what? You say something that everyone says to us, and which is the ultimate compliment because it obviously everybody sees what you see, is that we all do get along. We worked and set our egos aside years ago, knowing that the sum parts of everything together, sum total, makes for the whole to be really good. And that is what happens here. And we've all been able to do that, and we've all not had a problem with it because it's good for the show. We learn about one another. We know what buttons to push,
sure,
not to push, because we push the ones we shouldn't push.
Right.
And they back in, you go, oh, okay. And you have those conversations later where you say, hey, you don't do this. And you do have those. Long years ago, we had these conversations, and we go, okay, all right, that won't happen again. And you develop a trust. And obviously, we like one another, and we love hanging out with one another, and we do that, unlike a lot of people. And I shouldn't say like a lot of people, because I don't know.
Right.
I know what we do. We hang
it
out
works for
together.
You. Yeah. But let me ask.
We all hang together. We all watch college football. Jimmy and I watch it all day on Saturday. Jay Glazer will come in sometimes. Kurt will come in, I'd say not quite half a season, but he'll stop by at least 30% of the time, watch games. Howie will pop over two or three times. But we all, Jimmy and I, this Saturday, call my room starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, and Jimmy and I are sitting there, and we work out early, and then we watch college football till about 4, and then we do a preview with the show with a guy that comes by and says, okay, you're not going to do this and you're not going to do that. They want you to go here and you go there. Or he says, okay, we're all set. Because we all have our notes from our production meetings during the week. And
right.
So you prepare for that, and then they'll say, you're not going to do this, you're going to do that. Hey, will you make a comment? Because things are always happening. And you're, okay, fine. So if you have to do a little research, you do it. But for the most part, we're locked, loaded, ready to go. Saturday morning, we're through with the pregame show. We got it down, and it's showtime. It's fun.
Let me ask you the opposite question, because we give a lot of opinions here on this show, and we have a lot of fun here on this show. But there are times where there's literal screaming as the song is fading, and then we turn on the mics, and we sort of have to fake that we're still getting along because one of us is really angry. That has to happen.
No.
Yeah, Terry.
No, seriously.
Terry's a better broadcaster than we are, Kevin.
No, we do not. We have never, in my 22, going on 22 at Fox, we have never, well, that's not true, not never.
All right.
There has been one time, maybe twice, that I can just think of real quickly where we knew someone was you-know-what.
Sure.
and on one of the occasions I wasn't involved.
Okay.
And on the other one I was, and I tried to make it right immediately, and the party that I was addressing, and I won't mention Jimmy's name because I don't want to and didn't want to hear it, and I did on behalf of all of us, because we were all involved in it.
Right.
But I was the spokesperson. I was kind of the leader there, and I went down there, and it wasn't well received. But that was primarily because Jimmy was not committed to television. We knew he was going back to coaching.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so therefore, we weren't anywhere near close to Jimmy Johnson the first 2-3 years. When he had left the Cowboys, so much had gone on in Dallas, and
yeah,
bitterness and resentment and so on and so forth, and the fact that we felt for sure he was going back coaching. So he didn't really let us get to know him. And then when he did come back, there was no question he was part of the family, and we got to see Jimmy and know Jimmy as a friend, and a really good friend, and one of probably my best friend, and he'll say the same about me.
We'll ask him
about
that.
We're kind of the odd couple, but we are buddies at the hip. And but there's only been a couple of times where when the lights went off,
yeah,
we had to go and
got it
and kind of patch things up.
Terry, it's to your credit, Mr. Bradshaw, that you are able to see past that ferocious head of hair that Jimmy Johnson has, and put all your jealousy aside, and just accept him as a man.
I don't mind. Hey, listen, I don't mind being bald. I have a problem. You know what I'm struggling with?
What?
I really want to shave my head. Or buzz it down to a number two.
Right.
Do it.
I don't have. I got a big old basketball head.
Right.
And I'm not an attractive guy, and my eyes are a little. I got a little snake eyes, a little beady eyes, and I just.
It might be frightening for the children.
I don't know why I worry about. I got married here a couple of months ago, so I'm all locked and loaded. I'm good there, so right, I don't need to impress anybody.
Shave it.
Shave it. I should shave it. I may
shave it.
I was going to do it this off season. Maybe I'll do it next off season, right off the bat, and get an idea. But if I shave it, I want to grow a mustache.
Terry,
don't you
listen.
Think that'd be kind of cool.
I think a mustache is great. I mean, if you want to be up like,
I bet you, if I shave my hair and grow a mustache, I bet I start speaking in a foreign language.
If you want to be a porn star, it's perfect.
Terry, here's what you got to do. Make some sort of a wager on the show, and the thing is if you lose, you'll agree to shave your head on TV. But that way, you'll do sure it. You'll get the look you want. You'll get all the publicity in the world over it.
Yeah, and make sure that the wager I make is one I'm going to lose.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
bet on the Cowboys going all the way.
I'll do that at the championship game.
There you go.
And therefore, I'll have 6 months to do it early. I'll be able to determine whether or not it looks good.
That's right.
And then, by then, it'll grow whatever it does.
We've accomplished something here today. Terry Bradshaw is our guest on the Kevin DeMean Show. He is the analyst and co-host of Fox NFL Sunday, which returns this weekend, Sunday morning at 9. Terry, we love you, man. We always enjoy having the show. You're welcome anytime, my friend.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. Got a chance to see your future there a few minutes ago talking to Mr. Terry Bradshaw. Kevin, how do you feel about that?
How dare you?
That's six months from now. That's going to be you.
He's talked a lot about having way too many concussions when he played, and they would just go right back out because they didn't know much about it, and his short-term memory is completely gone.
Oh, man.
Yeah, for your health, maybe the 70s wasn't the best time to play professional football. Hey, got a lot of shows still to come, including actor Dash Myhawk. He plays Bunchy Donovan on Ray Donovan, Don't You Know. He'll be our in-studio guest coming up next hour. Plus, I have some very exciting vacation plans to tell you about next hour as well.
Yeah.
First, though, here's a story we told you about first thing yesterday's show. Now we have news audio, and it's a wedding that involves in a number of arrests and a fist fight and a bride who spends the night alone. Listen up.
This is State Trooper David Williams, handcuffed, headed to jail. Police say the incident started on the Gateway Clipper. A wedding party was underway when an employee of the Gateway Clipper says the groom had become handsy. Says the groom touched her several times along the side of her torso and her upper hip area. She also says the groom tried to pour alcohol down her throat, despite the fact she advised him she was pregnant. That woman called her boyfriend. That started a fight.
It got really bloody after that.
Police say the blood came from this man, Brian Taylor, also a member of the wedding party. He apparently punched out a window in a car, refused to comply with police orders. When they tried to arrest him, he yelled he was HIV positive. He was cuffed, charged, and also taken to the hospital.
That wedding had everything.
USA! USA!
No
USA!
Kidding.
That is, anytime the wedding description involves where the blood came from, you know, the right kind of reception.
Yeah, we're going to take your calls about fights at weddings. Because it seems to happen a lot, and it's probably, I imagine most of them are, you know, afterwards when you start drinking.
Yeah, and you
well, they're in their cups, right, Kevin?
Sure. Yeah.
You invite family that doesn't necessarily all get along, but you feel like you have to invite everybody.
Uh-huh. Very seldom, though. I mean, I don't know if you listened to that report closely, but the groom was the one that was handsy.
Yeah.
The guy getting married was the one that was hitting on the girl that worked for the boat company.
And I just think as a new wife, you should expect fidelity from your husband right there on day one.
For that night.
At least for the wedding night.
Especially on the wedding night.
Yeah, I think so. So I don't know what we're going to get here, but we want to hear from you, the Kevin DeMean listener, if you've been to a wedding where a fight broke out.
Especially if you were in it.
Especially if you were in it, especially if it involved the authorities and arrests were made, because there's an awful lot that can go wrong. As Lisa pointed out, a lot of people maybe shouldn't be in the same room together plus alcohol. So we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. It's a Jerry Springer type segment. Fights at a wedding. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin DeMean Show on Q. So, the groom got a little bit of touchy-feely going on with one of the ladies who was working at the wedding. And then a fight broke out, and then a bunch of people were arrested, and there was lots of blood.
That happened out in Pennsylvania. That's okay. What we're talking about to kick off your stories of fights at a wedding at 1-800-520-1067. That's how you know the party is really getting going, when the police show up at a wedding. That's definitely what you want.
It is funny because the opposite is what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to have the best day of your life. You know, everybody's supposed to behave and have a great time, the whole thing. And then somebody gets into a fight. It sort of ruins everything. And that's where we come in and we laugh.
Let's start with Danny. He's on line five. He's in Santa Ana. Kevin, you mentioned that if you were in the fight, extra points. So I think that may be Danny's situation.
All right. Hi, Danny.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
So you were in a fight?
Well, yeah, it was kind of funny. It was a wedding, a family wedding. And the bouncer started hitting on my friend's dad. So we went around. We were only 19 at the time. So we went around, you know, and as soon as we went around, the clubs are swinging away. We're getting maced. But we ended up actually hitting about good four or five of the bouncers before we got maced, you know. Cop came to our house later on to file a report, you know, and it just, you know, got out of hand real quick.
Wait, why were there bouncers at a wedding?
It was kind of like a club at the same time, you know.
It was like a reception at the reception?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
That's awesome. So, and the bouncer was hitting on who? Your father-in-law or something?
No, it was my best friend's father.
Your best friend's father.
I already love your story because it involves mace.
That's true.
But you don't hear at most weddings.
Yeah, it was just, I'm telling you, it's crazy. We were 19. This was like 20 years ago.
Sure.
You know, so it was just, it got out of hand. That I even said that that place got almost burned down like a year or two later because of another fight.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you called. Go Raiders. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate that. Let's go to, how about Julie on line one? She's in HB.
All right. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Hi.
Kind of fight at a wedding?
We were on a boat in Newport Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, let me just butt in here and say boats are bad, right?
I did one on a boat not too long ago. Right, but, it was fine.
But I'm saying you're in a small space, you can't leave,
true.
And you drink a lot. It doesn't seem like that's a recipe for a great wedding.
Right.
All right,
especially
go ahead.
When the best man has a drinking and drug problem.
Oh, good. Good.
Like, total recipe for bad. So, yeah, the best man decided to pick a fight with one of the guests. And we ended up getting escorted back to port by the Harbor Patrol.
Oh,
there you
my
go.
God.
Sweet. Good.
There you go.
We've got Mace. We've got Harbor Patrol. Good.
All right. Appreciate
that. Get married, I assume.
I like it.
Lucky people.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to George in Southgate. Hi, George.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May.
It's going well.
You were at a wedding where a fight broke out, or were you in it?
Yeah. I was at a wedding, my friend's wedding. And the whole point, it was like a secret wedding among, the father-in-law didn't know that they're getting married. You know, long story short, at the day of the wedding, he found out where the wedding was at. Him and two of his brothers came at the altar to beat up my friend, Eric.
Wow. And, wait, hold on. I'm trying to translate here. So they didn't know about the wedding, but when they found out about it, they tried to stop it by beating up the groom.
Yes, yes. And everybody that was watching, apparently one of the guys that he invited was one of his old friends, and he's a police officer. He was also on duty at the time, and that's how we broke it up.
Wow.
Yeah, so he got beat up at the altar.
Good times.
Oh, my God.
Getting jumped at the altar is not what you're looking for.
These people have so much better wedding albums than I do, by the way. My wedding was so boring. All right, let's go to Jessica. She had somebody tased at her wedding.
All right.
Jessica, Cypress, line 8. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Good. At my wedding, my husband's cousin was getting in one of the groomsmen's face.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, calling him all kinds of names. And he, you know, so my husband was trying to get him outside. And then once he got outside, he was trying to punch my husband. So, you know, the best man was trying to hold my husband back because he was wanting to go after him, too. He even took off his glasses so that if, you know, anything happened, that his glasses wouldn't shatter.
I wish I could have been there. This sounds awesome.
So the cops show up at some point?
Yes. So my husband just told the security, do whatever you need to do to keep him out of the wedding. So so they had to end up calling the police because he kept trying to sneak back in the wedding. The police came. He kind of, like, went at them, and they tasered him. They had to taser him another time. He peed his pants, and then he ended up going to jail for 30 days.
Wait, they tased him twice?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Jessica, you're the bride. What's this like for you that day?
So I didn't really know any of this was happening because they were kind of keeping me inside, and I was just kind of pissed. Like, what, you know, we're supposed to do the first dance. You know, we're supposed to be doing all this thing, and I'm like, where the hell is he?
Yeah, well, that seems important.
Yeah, so I didn't know any of it was happening until later that night, and I was just, and my brother-in-law was here. I mean, I have family from England, so my brother-in-law was here, and they're from, like, a small town in England, and he was mesmerized by it. He was like,
I hope you
like
told him this is how we do it in America.
Episode of Cops right here.
Yeah, this is every wedding in America.
You missed the best part of your own wedding, Jessica. That's actually kind of sad when you think about it.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for the call. We have time, I believe, for one more, and I'd like it to be Bob, because this sounds like it may be the worst story ever. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
What happened at the wedding?
Backyard wedding. I was younger, so I wasn't invited. I'm looking over the picket fence. There's a kegger there. Everyone's drunk. One of the guests shows up with a bulldog. The bulldog bites the bride. The groom, drunk off his butt, picks up a 2x4 and whacks the guest with it, knocks him out unconscious.
So the dog bit the wife, and so then the husband took a 2x4 and hit the dog owner.
Yes.
That's some good times right there.
I don't know who to root for.
That's some quality entertainment right there, seriously.
Actual audio. Wow, Derek Weisberg, we're there? This has got to be breaking up soon. This is crazy. I can't even see the dog anymore.
Good times. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. I think more people should put the word boogie in their song.
Me too.
Why not?
And put more boogie in their butt, too.
It's Milky Chance with Stolen Dance on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:54.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
Let's hear it, Ralph.
I've never been this excited in a long, long time.
I can vouch. He came in walking on clouds.
Well, listen, here's the thing. If you know anything about me, you know the only thing I love more than being in crappy, cheesy movies,
right,
is watching crappy, cheesy movies.
Right.
And one of the great all-time crappy, cheesy movies, Samurai Cop.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, Kevin.
Samurai Cop.
Oh, nope. Sweet Kevin. Oh, Kevin.
Love it.
Samurai Cop is perhaps the best, worst action film of all time.
Wow, that's a pretty big category.
Came out in like 1990. Pretty much disappeared when it came out, but it has recently been rediscovered and appreciated anew by a whole new generation of fans. It's been some sort of a cult hit in the past few years.
Okay.
And I've been lucky enough to see this masterwork. And then I find out that this Friday at the Silent Movie Theater, they are going to have a screening on the big screen of Samurai Cop.
Love it.
With Matt Hannon himself. Samurai Cop himself will be there doing a Q&A. If that wasn't enough, then I find out they are now on Kickstarter raising money for Samurai Cop 2.
Oh, wow. It's
25
Christmas.
Years later,
it's Christmas
Samurai Cop 2 is in the works if they can raise the money. I may have to donate $1,500 just so I can be on the screen with Matt Hannon at some point. Because he is the Laurence Olivier of action stars.
Ralph, forgive my ignorance, but I'm over here with Kevin in the camp of I've never even heard of this movie. Why is it so awesome?
Because it's the best. Because it simply is. Because science. because Matt Hannon exists. Let me play you a little clip.
Is it also the worst?
Let me play you a little clip of Matt Hannon facing down the evil Japanese gangster who was ruining San Diego with his drug trade, and samurai cop Joe Marshall, who also happens to be a trained samurai.
Sure.
Is going to take him down, and they have this face-off mano-a-mano in a restaurant, and you don't want to mess with Joe Marshall.
Now, I'm telling these son of a bitches that we respect the Japanese of this country who are honest businessmen. And yeah, this is the land of opportunity for legitimate business, not for death merchants who distribute drugs to our children through schools and on the streets. Now, I'm telling these motherfuckers, if they continue killing our children to make their precious millions that they deposit in their secret Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah.
Counselor, before your lawsuit even gets off the court clerk's desk, I'll have their stinking bodies in garbage bags and ship them back to Japan for fertilizer. Got it?
Yeah!
USA! USA! USA!
That is
go
astonishing.
Joe Marshall!
That's pretty strong.
That's Matt Hannon as Joe Marshall, samurai cop, taking on the evil Fujiyama.
Ralph, do you...
That's just a small portion of the acting and dialogue you get in Samurai Cop. Not to mention the action. Not to mention the sex. Not to mention the gore. And it's a magical, magical experience.
It's got everything.
It does have everything.
Did it win the Best Screenplay Oscar that year? Do you remember? Do you have that in your notes at all?
It got edged out, I think, by Gandhi or some BS.
It's ridiculous.
But anyway, so I wanted to give people a heads up. Friday night... at the Silent Movie Theater on Fairfax at 9:30, I think it is. They're doing a screening with Joe himself, Joe Marshall himself, Matt Hannon. And then, apparently, Kickstarter. If you go to Kickstarter and you type in Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance, they are raising money trying to do a sequel, a long-awaited sequel, some 25 years later. And I know I'm contributing, so...
You should try to get your Matt Hannon. We should try to get him on the show tomorrow.
It's so funny because for years, people thought Matt was dead.
Yeah.
And then he released a video on YouTube saying, no, I'm still here. This is me. Samurai Cop, still alive.
Weird thing.
And it sort of kick-started the whole idea, no pun intended, of getting the sequel going. So we should get Matt on, absolutely. And we should... I'm being damn Samurai Cop. It's on the top.
You have
hell
to be in this movie.
That's right.
That's right. So excited.
The best. Let's do a video vault next week, Samurai Cop.
All right.
Carve me out some time, and I will walk you through the magic that is Samurai Cop, okay?
Done.
There are more scenes as great as the one we just heard.
You have no idea. Wait till you hear the horny nurse who comes on to Joe Marshall in the hospital when he's got one of his perps laid up. For Joe Marshall comes in and says, can he answer a few questions? She's like, no. This woman's the best. No. His lips are burned. Does that mean he'll never speak again? No, he'll speak again. It'll just give him a couple of weeks. So, do you like what you see? Yes, I do like what I see. Do you want to touch what you see? it's so good!
It does sound awesome.
All right, next hour I'm bringing in the naughty nurse.
All right,
scene.
Naughty nurse next hour.
Yeah. Speaking of nurses, Justin Bieber's hurt. That's good news, right?
All right.
Yeah.
And that fight?
Well, it's either the fight or the accident when he ran his SUV or his ATM or his...
ATV.
AMT or... whatever he's got, his ATF, he hit that... SUV. Apparently, he sprained his wrist. PDQ. And he has been treated at Stratford General Hospital, Ontario, Canada. They say, by all accounts, though, he will recover.
That's too bad.
Yes. Here goes his MMA career. I'm telling you, we respect Japanese businessmen, but not you death merchants who come here dealing your death for your precious millions that you put in your Swiss bank accounts. You don't know, man.
I don't.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dr. Drew, Loveline host, 56 years old today. Actor Damon Wayans turns 54. Liam Lynch, songwriter, singer extraordinaire, is 44.
Who bought that goddamn chair? It's not my chair.
Right.
Not my chair, not my problem.
You're
That's
right.
What I say.
Right. Wes Bentley is 36. Max Greenfield from New Girl is 34. Beyonce Knowles celebrates her 33rd birthday, and Whitney Cummings is 32. I'm Joe Marshall, Samurai Cop.
Actor Dash Myhawk is on Ray Donovan, don't you know? And he's going to be joining us in studio here in about 10 minutes or so. That's a great show right there, you guys. I'm kind of ticked at Ralph for not telling us ahead of time.
He's been telling us every day.
If he had mentioned it, maybe I would have started watching it a little bit sooner.
Every day of our lives, he's been bringing it up.
Kevin, if I can give you a little bit of advice,
where's
jealousy? Jealousy is not pretty. It's not pretty.
Okay.
And you shouldn't really spend so much time thinking about what other people have and what other people do. You should just work on being the best version of you, my friend. And I say this because I see in your eyes that you realize I'm going to Alabama tomorrow, and it's hard for you to watch good things happen to bad people.
Bean's
but it's vacation time.
Bean's going on vacation, and he's chosen Alabama.
Now, going to Alabama. Going tomorrow.
This is a guy who vacationed in, correct me if I'm wrong, Blythe.
Well, I think it was just a long weekend. That was quite a few years ago. But
But Blythe was your ultimate destination.
I went to Blythe one time, that's true. But I love America, and I love traveling across America, and I'm happy to say that I've been fortunate enough to see almost every corner of this country.
Did you vacation in Death Valley? Did that happen?
Well, who hasn't gone to Death Valley?
Oh, yeah. I'll raise my hand.
Yeah.
I've spent a week in Kansas. I've done all the Dakotas. I went to Wisconsin a couple years ago. I like to fly into a state and just hit the ground running and just see as much of it as I can. I mean, I'll see 1,200 to 1,500 miles of the great state of Alabama next week.
What? That sounds horrible. What is your wife saying about it? Is she excited?
Just zoom through, see a couple of things, and then get back on a plane?
Well, I'm going to go to all the places, all the hot spots in Alabama. I mean, there's a lot of tourist attractions.
Sure.
Alabama
is known for those.
I'm going to go to the largest replica of the Statue of Liberty in the world, by the way, which is in Birmingham. It's 36 feet tall. I'm going to see Hank Williams' death car. I'm going to go to the world's largest boll weevil statue.
God, I hate the world's largest. Bean is so obsessed with it.
Why do you see
those? We went to the world's largest, was it pecan?
In Seguin, Texas.
Twice.
I've been there four times.
Why?
And the world's largest pecan, and here's the important part, is not a pecan. It's made out of cement.
Why would you go four times? It hasn't changed at all.
One time I happened to be in Waco anyway, and it's only like 40 miles from there to go back to the pecan just to see what's up. So I did that.
But you know what's up. It's a piece of cement.
Let me tell you about a place in Alabama, and I'm serious about this, that I think you, Kevin, you, Lisa, and many of our listeners will actually be jealous of where I'm going. It's in Scottsboro, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Unclaimed Baggage Center.
Oh, I've read about this.
Yes. It's huge. It's a city block. The baggage that doesn't ever get claimed, it doesn't ever get picked up by people who leave it on planes, that's where the stuff goes that then gets sold to the public. The unclaimed baggage
or something?
No, you just buy it. They just price it. It's like a store. You just buy it. I mean, so it's everybody's, radios and hair dryers and clothes and whatever else they happen to have in their luggage, you get to buy.
I was wrong. This sounds exciting.
It does sound exciting. So anyway, so those are some of the highlights, and I'm very excited about my trip to Alabama.
Sure.
And if any of our listeners are from Alabama or have spent some time there and you want to email me and give me some heads ups on things I should see, please do that.
And you should see the border of any other state as you leave Alabama.
That Dave reached out to the great state of Alabama and got us some help on the phone, too. I believe the tourism director for the state of Alabama, Mr. Lee Centel, joins us on K-Rock right now. Hi, Lee. Thanks so much for coming on today, sir.
Well, how they do?
I was just talking up your great state. I'm going to be there tomorrow night. I can't wait to visit.
Well, we can't wait to have you here. It's going to be awesome to have you come visit the great state of Alabama.
Now, Blossom,
you go sit down now. All right,
Who's Blossom? Are you talking to your pigs while we have you?
I am talking to my pigs, yeah. More pigs as pets per capita in Alabama than any other state in the union.
It's perfect for me. I love that.
Is that a positive?
Well, a lot of them aren't so, say, pets. They just sort of roam in from the outdoors. You know what
I
I'm
see.
Saying?
Sure.
Hey, Lee, have you been to the Boll Weevil Monument in downtown Enterprise?
Been there. I got married there. Our first dance was on top of that Boll Weevil. We had a good time, too.
Lee, how many...
I can't remember much because I got drunk and fell off the Boll Weevil.
Sure. Lee, how many times have you tried to go out and get people to come to the great state of Alabama? And how many times have people called you and said, we're on our way, let us know what to see?
All the time. We're turning them away here in Alabama.
You're turning people away.
That's right. Alabama is the alternative for people who can't stand the intellectual elitism of Kentucky. You want a down-home experience, you come to Alabama. And I'm so glad you brought up that luggage museum, because you know, where can you buy a good secondhand hair dryer these days?
Exactly. That's my point.
You got to go to Alabama. You got no choice. What do you want to do if you want to stop by the Colostomy Bag Museum?
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Oh, yeah. We got everything from early colostomy bags made out of deer skin.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, frontier colostomy bags.
That is not good. I had no idea.
Deer skins and Indian bladders.
Oh, wow.
All the way up to the newfangled ones they got now made out of something called plastic.
Plastic. Okay, gotcha.
Also, we got the Used Dental Floss Museum. Come on by there. It's a good time.
Used Dental Floss.
Yeah.
That does not sound like a good time.
Well, it's not that. We don't have a lot of pieces here because ain't a lot of teeth in Alabama.
Yeah, well.
So it's not a lot of dental floss. But we're starting a collection. We're looking forward to it.
How much will that cost my man Bean to get into the Dental Floss Museum?
Well, what do you got to trade? We'll take a yo-yo, a frog, some twine, whatever's in your pockets. We'll take it.
You still barter?
Oh, yeah. We're all about the barter.
Okay.
Barter, some people call it.
Nobody calls it that.
Are you positive that you're the tourism director to get people to come to Alabama?
I sure am. Come on down. You're going to have a chance to sign up for the first ever bone marrow matching dating service where we take your DNA, and if you're involved, if you're a relative, you can also get a date.
Come on,
it's only Alabama. We all F our relatives.
How dare you?
That's on the T-shirt.
That is on the T-shirt.
It is.
All right.
Alabama, we all F our relatives. Screw you, Bean.
Yeah. Ralph, you got to get on board with this Ray Donovan, dude. I don't know what the hell you've been doing or where you've been, but you've been missing out,
listen,
brother.
A-hole. I'm the guy who's been coming in now for a year and a half telling you about the show and telling you to watch every Sunday on Showtime.
Well, you have succeeded. Ray Donovan airs Sunday nights at 9 on the Showtime Network. We're very excited to welcome Ray's little brother, Bunchy Dash Myhock, as the actor right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dash, how are you, man?
I'm very well. How are you this morning?
Oh, Bunchy.
We're good.
Oh, Bunch.
I know. I hate that people just shake their head.
We feel so sorry for you, Bunch.
People just want to give me hugs and
just
shake their head when they look at me.
I was so glad when you came in and you weren't sort of special.
Or drunk.
That family, the Donovans.
For those that don't watch, catch them up on the...
A little bit.
Jeez. The dynamic.
What's the dynamic? What the show's about?
Dash. Tell me. That's, I do that
You're
all
on the
time.
Show, dude.
All right, I'll do it.
I think it's
a family of Southies from Boston who have really sort of moved west to California, largely on the back of their big brother, Ray Donovan, who is what is known in the industry as a fixer. He works for an entertainment lawyer in Hollywood, and he goes around taking care of seedy, dirty deeds that have to be done in the entertainment industry primarily. And he's also got a couple brothers that he has out with him. One owns a boxing gym. Another is a survivor of a molestation by a priest back in
Boston. It's a romantic comedy.
So it's a comedy.
It's a laugh riot is what it is. And it's a story of their family and their father. John Boyd plays their father, and it's a family drama about some people who are just profoundly effed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's fascinating, it's entertaining, it's funny, it's scary, and I it's one of the few shows I have to watch live every week. I don't even DVR it. I sit my ass down and I watch Ray Donovan because that's how good it is.
We don't get a lot of calls like Liev does in this show where he says, I effed up. You got to get over here right away.
I have a dead hooker in my hotel room. Yeah. You got to come help me
out. You don't get a lot of calls like that, and I'm guessing that that's probably good, but he sure does.
I don't know. I just walked through the lobby. You guys could use Ray.
So, Dash, we almost have to start. We're talking about this show with this unbelievable cast. I mean, like, John Voight is the real revelation to me. Even though he's been a tremendous actor for decades now and is an Oscar winner, I think maybe some people had forgotten until this role came along how powerful an actor he still is. It must be amazing to do scenes with him on set.
It is a real honor. I mean, everybody on this show is a powerhouse. They're Eddie Marsan, Paula Malkelson, Liev. I mean, it's cliche to say this about your castmates, but I really am fortunate enough to get to watch them every day, and we really try to elevate the show and make the lines come to life. And John Voight is he's a very, very kind,
terrifying,
giving actor, and a really nice person to work with. And this is a role of a lifetime. I think he knows that, and you know, they give him some gosh darn great lines.
Yeah. Do you feel we've seen enough of him with his shirt off?
Not for me. I could see him with his shirt off and with black prostitutes with, you know, sure, ganja in his mouth at all times.
Yeah, his living arrangements this season are
sketchy.
Spectacular, yeah. Living across from Shorty in the hallway there, who's dying of cancer, and all they do is smoke pot. And
he has a drinker,
just,
too.
Mickey just dreams. He just dreams his big dreams. God love him.
Yep. Let's talk about Bunchy for a second here, because Ralph mentioned that your character's had a very, very troubled childhood. Mm. And as an actor, I mean, how do you put that across, that, you know, that drama, that that abuse that you've suffered with, that you're an adult and everything like that? Like, how do you even begin to know how to play something like that when you haven't experienced it?
You don't know.
You don't know him, man.
Well, I'm a Catholic.
Let's back up.
I went to Sunday school for 7 years in New York.
So it could have happened.
No, nothing like that happened. I did a lot of research. Obviously, I've talked to some people that it's actually happened to, and you know. But at the end of the day, you just see what happened. Then after that, and look, everybody has addictions. I think it's easy to look at parts of your life that, you know, whether it's sugar or whatever it is, and get into that addictive mindset, because I think, you know, if you really think about it, we all have something that we need. And then I just go really overboard.
On the page, was Bunchy written sort of as like a man child? Because I feel that way when I watch your work. It's like Bunchy has been stripped of the ability to sort of grow up and process because of what he went through as a child. He's sort of
stuck there, right?
He's stuck there. Yeah, he's stagnated. And I don't know if that was on the page or whether that was something you brought to the role.
Well, I think I discussed it with Ann Bitterman, who wrote it, and on the page it was definitely there. It was one of the things that I was most attracted to. I was like, wow, the layers of this character are going to be phenomenal to get to play. And you know, I think that I have a young childlike quality that I bring to things that makes it sort of more sweet and sensitive and strangely funny. But it was definitely on the page, and I think, you know, I'm glad that I got to be married to the page. Unless they whack me.
Yeah, you never
they
know.
Could. They could next
could
week.
Happen I could at any point,
any time.
Is that why you're here today?
I was listening on the way over, and I heard that guy with the the dog beating, and
oh,
that,
right.
I was like, the wow, wagon. It's like our show.
Yeah,
those families exist.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Ann Bitterman, by the way, for those who don't recall her name, she was the creator of Southland, also another one of our favorite shows. So this has a pretty good pedigree, this show.
No kidding. Right. Wow.
Dash Mihawk is here. We need to take a break.
Oh, apologize. Come on. We're talking
Kevin.
Here.
The show is Sunday nights at 9. It's called
Kevin's Mean.
Ray Donovan, and you should definitely be watching it. We'll be right back.
If you watch TV at all or have ever been to the movies, you have seen Dash Mihawk in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's unbelievable to look. Of course, you're famous now because of Ray Donovan, but to look at this list of shows that you've been on, from Grey's Anatomy to Hawaii Five-O to, you know, you name it, you've done it, and all the movies that you've done, it's crazy. But are you seeing now, Dash, everybody knows you from Ray?
I am. I mean, yeah. I most people come up to me and say, what's that movie you're in? Yo, tell me that one.
And then what's you have that to go, one? And then you have to go through your whole IMDb.
Yeah, and they're like, "No, I didn't see that."
That wasn't.
And then no. And they're like, "Yo, Felicity, man." And I'm like, "Okay." So now I try to be nice and just say, "Hey, do you have a smartphone? Like, can I just give you my name and you
right.
can look it up?
You can just look it up on your own time,
so I don't have to like embarrass myself."
That is sort of embarrassing. No, that's not it. Nope.
No, not that one. No, yeah. No, man, that one movie. I'm like, I did a couple.
Give me more to go on.
Ray Donovan airs on Showtime Sunday nights at 9. We are how many episodes into the current season? This weekend is number 8, I want to say?
Number 9,
okay. And I think we have a clip. This will give you an idea of the tortured nature of your character, Bunchy Donovan. Kevin, do we need to set this up at all? Do we know what we got here?
I don't know.
I don't know what clip it is. Wish you guys had told me.
Me too.
Let's enjoy it.
I just get really confused.
About what?
Were you ever afraid that you were going to do something, but you knew in your heart that you didn't really want to do it?
What are you talking about?
can't tell you.
Machia, you're scaring me.
Well, I'm sorry.
Wow. This is a romantic comedy, you said?
I guess I recognize this. Is that from this upcoming episode?
That's from the upcoming episode. Oh. That's why
we can't really set it up or talk about it because it hasn't happened yet.
I gotcha.
Excellent choice and clip.
Mm-hmm. Whoever did that. Now, we did see in the previews, though, that Bunchy meets a lady. Is that good? Is that good news for him?
Or her?
It would be good news considering he hasn't been with a lady in a long time.
Mm-hmm. He's a sexual anorexic.
He's making new relationships.
Now, is that the mother of the boy from the bike?
That's
bike
the
shop?
Mother of the boy okay. from the bike shop.
They, so they have a pre-existing relationship a little bit. She's washed his hair and washed his face with her mouth a little bit.
And she's washed his mouth with her mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's been some action there before the kid came home and ruined it all. So, all right. So there's an established relationship. All right. Good for Bunch.
Good for Bunch. Maybe Bunch will get laid.
Maybe.
Other than by that dude who was in his recovery group.
Oh, yeah. God.
That dude was into you.
He.
Your character. Yeah. We all saw it coming, Bunch. We all saw it. You didn't see it, but we saw it.
He had strangely had kind of soft lips. I didn't like it, but when we were done, I was like, wow, you have really soft
That wasn't
lips.
Bad.
It's a bad family party when someone from your recovery group grabs you on the balcony and starts trying to make out with you.
Yeah. That's not ideal.
The line of the episode for me was, I'm not gay, Ray! And Liev Schreiber is like, I'm not judging Bunch.
By the way, speaking of Liev Schreiber, who is, again, just phenomenal as Ray Donovan on this show, has he ever said goodbye to somebody that he talks to on the phone? He hangs up on 100% of the people he talks to,
doesn't he? By
the
way, go ahead and answer that, and then I have a follow-up.
God. People out there, start tweeting.
Yeah.
Let us know, because I'm not sure. I think he maybe says bye to his kids.
I'll tell you, the answer is almost nobody says goodbye on any TV or movie.
That's true,
are we just saving time? Is that all we're doing?
It's almost 100%. Meet me at the so-and-so. All right.
But Ray's not having the kind of conversations that involve a lot of small talk.
Right, true.
Right. He's not really – he can't be attached.
A rapper has me at gunpoint. Can you help me?
I'll be right there.
Yeah,
click.
Don't do anything stupid. You hang up and you drive there. You're not really – well, tell him I said hi. And can I pick you up anything when I'm on my way over? All right. Okay, then. Bye. See you soon.
Great talking to you.
Get your head. Okay, then. Love you.
Love you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, listen, before we're completely out of time here, Dash, you've been acting forever, but you have another skill that I think would surprise a lot of people because you are, in fact, an older white male.
Yes.
What are you doing, Dash? What's going on?
Look, I have been making hip-hop music since I was a kid. I had a rap group when I was 12. It was called Sam Dash Chris, Strictly Devastating Crew. Ever since then, and I was like 86. I've always made hip hop for fun, and I decided that it's time now that I've turned 40 that I should release my white rap album.
That's where all the best hip hop's being made is by white guys over 40. Right. We all know that.
Honestly, it's been a passion of mine forever, and I only rap about fairly positive things. No sex and drugs. Well, maybe some sex.
That's
maybe.
Positive. Sex is positive.
Maybe.
Right, that's good.
But it's just been, again, one of my hobbies.
It's a passion,
And now, and people are enjoying my music, so now I'm going to share it with the world.
Well, we want to give our audience a chance to enjoy it because we do have a clip of one of your songs here. Are you nervous when people are hearing your music for the first time, fearing what their reaction will be?
100%. I can act all day. I don't care, whatever. When people are listening to my music, I'm sitting there going like...
Please love me. Please love me.
You like it?
Looking for any sign of approval.
But so far, well, you'll tell me.
All right. All right,
let's hear it.
If you ain't taking risks, then life is what you missed and you died. What if you trusted yourself? What if you lived in your vision? What if you suffered in health? Would you live in a vision? The decision is yours. And yo, I may sound redundant, but I know in my core, love is all around and abundant. Love is the ignition of a flame within. It's the feeling of a baby's skin.
I got to tell you, when I first heard that you had a rap album coming out, I was like, fantastic, because actors who rap are terrible.
You thought it'd be great comic material?
Yes. I see. And it wasn't.
It's good.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And the horns sound great, too, behind us. Right?
Yeah, I got some great musicians on it. Yeah.
Where's the rest of the crew now from 86, by the way? You leave them behind?
The devastating, whatever they were?
Sadly, actually, one of my best friends passed a while back.
Nice work,
but thanks. But I don't know where Chris is. Chris, if you're out there, you know.
Too bad, so sad.
I don't need you. I'm doing fine without you.
I'll follow you, and we can direct message each other and, like, get in touch.
Trust me.
Well, that's as tight as it gets.
You'll hear from him.
That little bit was mine. That was my piece right there.
Exactly.
Look for a check.
I wrote that.
When's that coming out, Dash?
The end of the year. Okay. This is my deadline. I'm one of these very anal people about my music. It's got to be perfect before I release it. But I've been telling people the end of the year. So but this fall.
You're rather elusive as an individual, aren't you? Every answer is a question.
Bobbing and weaving at all times.
End of the year?
Well, if you could accept a little professional advice from somebody in the business,
please.
Dash, there's never been a better time to get into the music industry. So I think a great time.
CD.
So
wait until now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. CDs. Oh, yeah, I got CDs. Cassettes are flying.
Oh, so much money in music right now.
Wait till I put the Sandash Chris Strictly Devastated cassette on.
I like it.
All right. Well, we're out of time. We're going to look forward to that, and we're going to look forward to the remaining episodes of this season of Ray Donovan. Showtime, Sunday nights at 9, already renewed and coming back for a third season. A lot of fun to meet you.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
We're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Ralph Garman steps in. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
It's not the showbiz beat.
What is it?
It's the samurai cop beat.
Samurai cop beat.
That's all I'm talking about from now on.
That's all that matters?
That's all that matters. I thought I was alone in my love for this film. It turns out it's universal.
I've never heard
it's literally around the universe.
Never heard of samurai cop.
Oh, you're missing out. 1989, the best, worst action film ever.
So it's horrible, but it's bad enough.
So bad.
That it's entertaining.
That it's beyond sublime. It goes all the way around. It has become a cult classic in the past few years, and now it's just taken on a life of its own. This morning, I found out in rapid succession, not only are they doing a big screen screening, you know, a theatrical screening this Friday night at the Silent Movie Theater on Fairfax at 9:40. PM. They're going to be showing Samurai Cop on the big screen. I've never seen it on the big screen, so I'm going to have to get down there.
Okay.
But star Matt Hannon, who plays Joe Marshall, Samurai Cop, will be there doing a Q&A. And then I found out that they also have a Kickstarter campaign going on right now, trying to raise money for the sequel some 25 years later.
Your head Samurai is about Cop to explode.
It's an embarrassment of riches for Samurai Cop fans. Today is a red letter day.
Now, did Matt Hannon, as he should, quit acting after this movie, or did he go on to have a career?
I am not familiar with his career post-Samurai Cop. I know pre-Samurai Cop, he was one of Sylvester Stallone's bodyguards.
In real life?
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
That's how he got into the industry.
Huh.
And you'll be hard-pressed to listen when you listen to him as an actor to believe that he was anything but a classically trained actor before he got into movies.
Some people make it look easy.
I played a clip last hour of him confronting Fujiyama, the evil Japanese gangster.
His name again?
Fujiyama.
Okay. Good.
I played you a clip of him confronting him very boldly in a restaurant. But I promise you the clip of Joe Marshall and his partner going to interview a perp who has been burned at the hospital. And they can't interview him right now because his lips are burnt. But the sexy nurse who's taking care of the perp likes what she sees when she looks at Joe Marshall, and who wouldn't, because he's the samurai cop.
Sure.
And so there's some flirtation going on, and it's the best thing you've ever heard.
Is it the opposite of sexy?
It is.
All right.
Please enjoy another clip from Samurai Cop.
Do you like what you see?
I love what I see.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Would you like to go out with me?
Yes, I would.
Would you like to me?
Bingo.
Well, then let's see what you've got. Doesn't interest me. Nothing there.
Nothing there? Just exactly what would interest you? Something the size of a jumbo jet?
Have you been circumcised?
Yeah, I have. Why?
Well, your doctor must have cut a big portion of it off.
No, he was a good doctor.
No, she didn't.
Good doctors make mistakes, too. That's why they buy insurance.
Hey, don't worry. I got enough. It's big.
I want bigger.
That is...
Ladies and gentlemen, Samurai Cop!
That's
consideration.
Wait, that's real?
That is a scene.
That happened?
So, that actress had not pre-read the script, though, right? I mean,
yes,
that was first take.
Had. She
that was just the rehearsal?
She memorized those lines.
Porn dialogue is so much better than that.
And better delivered.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was... When this movie was released, Ralph, did it play in theaters?
Yes!
It did?
Yes.
Even good doctors make mistakes?
Don't worry. There's enough. It's big.
I want bigger.
And he's got a black partner, of course, a la a Lethal Weapon.
Sure.
And what you don't say at the end of that scene, he's like, well, hold on. It's like, it's the most racist, stereotypical, just, oh, it keeps giving and giving. It's 96 minutes of pure cinematic bliss.
But it's hard to imagine they can keep up that level for 96 minutes.
I have to tell you, I'm looking forward to a sequel, but I got to say I'm dubious because I don't know if you can capture lightning in a bottle like that more than once. But
yeah, because the fear is that they would try to make it bad, and then in which case it wouldn't be bad.
Yes,
bad enough.
However, I don't think they could try to make it good.
Right, that's true too. Right,
so I think if they try to make it good, they'll be fine because it will be wonderfully bad, I'm thinking. I'm assuming. Although the 80s were a particularly special time for great badness. You know, with the clothing and the hairstyles and the music. And the 80s just really captured a really
honestly,
good, bad time.
That sounds like a high school project.
Man, you don't have no idea. They're the captain, or the police captain. They're like, I feel like I have a club in my butt. And it hurts.
He didn't say that.
And I got to figure out how to get it out.
He didn't follow that up with, and it hurts.
Yes, those are some of the... We'll do it next week. We'll
all
do
right.
A video vault.
Monday.
And I will play you all the greatest hits of Samurai Cop.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so... Yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross.
Double cross.
All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Yeah.
That scene is even worse than the first scene you played.
That's actually from Cucamonga Heat.
That's,
oh, I see.
That's another movie. Actually right Omar's high school project.
That's our DJ Omar Khan right there who's responsible for that film. Although Samurai Cop is not far off from Cucamonga
Heat.
Wow. They would make an excellent double feature. That's all I'm telling you.
Maybe we could talk him into playing that afterwards or before.
Anyway, again, just giving you a heads up. Friday night, cinefamily.org is the website you can go to, and you can see Samurai Cop up on the big screen. And go to Kickstarter if you want to donate some money towards Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance.
Ralph, please be in the sequel.
For $1,500, I can have a scene opposite Matt Hannon himself.
Really? Why don't you start a Kickstarter with the Garmy to raise the money for you to be in the movie
for
their
to
Kickstarter?
Be in. That's a funny idea.
I like it.
Like a piggyback on it. The way the guy did with Kenny Loggins coming to his living room, right?
Yep.
I want to be in Deadly Vengeance. Samurai Cop 2.
You should be.
The poster reads, they thought he was dead. He was just resting.
That is not the poster.
That's what the poster says.
Come on.
It's hard to imagine.
This is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's bad. It's spectacular.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dr. Drew is 56 years old today. Happy birthday, Doc. We love you. Damon Wayans is 54. Songwriter Liam Lynch is 44 years old.
Lighthouses rule. Yes. You don't like the lighthouse, you suck.
That's right. Not now, not never. Wes Bentley is 36 years old today. Max Greenfield's 34. Beyonce Knowles turns 33 years old. And Whitney Cummings is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Got some more Samurai Cop for us this hour, Ralph, or have you moved on?
I don't. We'll be tackling that next week. And Toto.
I
can't
wait.
Through the entire Samurai Cop film, scene for scene. It's going to take the whole show, but it'll be worth it.
It'll be worth it. It'll be the best show we've ever done.
It will. An entire show dedicated to Samurai Cop.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to showbiz news, here's another great film. Sure. It's not as good as Samurai Cop, but it was pretty good. Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yay!
That was a good
good movie.
It was a good film, but it wasn't a great film like Samurai Cop.
Yeah.
No nurse ever came up to Captain America and said, "Do you like what you see?
Do you want to touch
what you see? Do you want to F me? Would you like to go out?" "Bingo," said Samurai Cop.
"Do you like what you see?"
"Yeah. I love what I see."
"Would you like to touch what you see?"
"Yes. Yes, I would."
"Would you like to go out with me?"
No, what happened? We were just talking about having sex one second ago.
I was touching you a minute ago. Now we're going out to dinner?
It's
like
dinner?
A step backwards. Bingo. Let me hear the bingo. Keep going.
Yes, I would.
"Would you like to me?"
Bingo.
There you go.
That was great.
Bingo.
Bingo.
If you want to see a less great movie like Captain America the Winter Soldier, how about Cap on Blu-ray? Yeah, it's not in stores until September the 9th next week. I have copies right now to give you if you're one of the first five lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067. Call me now. You get Captain America the Winter Soldier on Blu-ray.
Let's have it.
And next week, we'll be talking about Cap again. I've got a very cool promotional thing that's happening with Marvel and this movie that we'll talk about next week. But I can't talk about it right now.
Where did Let's Have It come from, Beat? I forget.
Let's Have It. You were telling some band to start playing.
It was Tuvalu. Yeah, you're waiting for Tuvalu's band to kick in, yeah.
Tuvalu!
We said, all right, some live music now. And then they were just standing there, literally not counting or looking at each other or beginning in any way. I didn't know what to say.
So you said, let's have it.
So I said, let's have it. Which
just
is,
get
that's
on
the polite,
with it.
That's the polite version of hit it. It's a poor reaction on my part.
Should have said,
let's have it.
Do you like what you see? You said that to Tuvalu.
Bingo.
Tuvalu.
Bingo.
Bingo. Tuvalu! You know that's how you say her name in Swedish?
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Tuvalu.
Yes.
That's all I can think of now. Tuvalu! Hey, speaking of music, Dave Grohl, or as they say in Sweden, David Grohl, is a cool dude.
Bingo.
Bingo. He told people in Richmond, Virginia, there was a bunch of fans there, said, "We want the Foo Fighters to come play here." And he said, "Sell out a show and we'll come. We'll come and play." So fans there in Richmond, Virginia took it upon themselves to sell tickets to a show that didn't exist.
This is why.
But an entrepreneurial fan said, "I will sell tickets. And if we sell out a venue, then, Dave, will you come and do the show?" And he said, "Yes, we will." So they put tickets on sale, and they bought tickets to a hypothetical Foo Fighters concert, and they sold it out. So now Dave and the band are coming to a club called The National in Richmond, Virginia, on September the 17th to perform for their fans in Richmond, Virginia.
They're the best.
Club holds 1,500 people.
Oh, amazing. My gosh.
So those people are going to get see the Foos.
Bingo.
Bingo, they'll say.
So somebody actually bought a ticket to a Foo Fighters concert.
That
Foo Fighters not included.
Yeah, that was sort of on a flyer.
It's great.
It was on spec. And then it came to pass.
I like it.
Dave's the best. You know what else is the best? New reality show called The Wait for Love.
The Wait for Love.
W-E-I-G-H-T.
I knew it.
The Wait for Love.
Uh-huh.
Where fat couples.
Yes.
Agree to separate. To try to lose their weight separately away from each other since they can't do it together.
Now, are these happy couples?
Well, they're fat. How happy could they be?
Okay,
I don't know. I think they are, yes.
According to Ralph, they're barely human.
They're couples that want to stay together, I believe.
Okay,
that's
right.
What you mean. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was
but
asking.
They're unhappy about their current state. So they separate and lose all the weight. And then they are reunited in an emotional final episode. You haven't seen your fat wife in 2 months. Look at her now. Here she is, Ginny. Doom, 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 doom. And then Ginny comes out, and there's a big emotional reunion.
Yeah.
Come on. You know you want it. You know you love it. You know you need it.
Myself, I'm a sort of tubby, out of shape, unathletic person. How hard would it be to work with someone like me and to get them busting moves like you?
This is being brought to you by the people who brought you The Biggest Loser, naturally. And while we're talking about reality shows, Corey Harrison, you know Corey from the Pawn Stars? He is the...
Yes.
He's the son, right? He's the son...
Big Hoss.
Big Hoss, yeah, the son of the guy who owns the place. He may want to reconsider his beverage intake.
Uh-oh.
He was in a place called Jefferson City, Missouri,
and he came into a local bar and was so drunk he proceeded to whip it out and pee on a bar stool. The owner apparently was very upset, and employees complained that they had to clean up after the reality show star and asked that he not return.
It does seem like if you work at a bar, that's not part of your gig.
Or you could take that bar stool into the pawn shop in Vegas and say, a celebrity peed on this bar stool, what's it worth? And see if they give you a couple bucks for it. All I'm saying. Look, when life gives you lemon.
Yes.
Make lemonade, is what I always say. Okay. Bingo.
Yep.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Different show, not the right show.
Oh.
Bingo.
Yep, is the guys from Storage Wars.
Yep.
And Pawn Stars is a very different show.
Like It Matters.
Well, I'm just saying.
Come on.
It has, only in the sense that it has no connection to what we're talking about whatsoever.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Bingo.
I'm saying bingo. That's what I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, TV host and Loveline lover boy, Dr. Drew, 56 years old today. Damon Wayans is 54. Liam Lynch turns 44. Wes Bentley, very dreamy and talented actor. He is 36. Max Greenfield, from New Girl, 34. Beyonce Knowles turns 33 today. And Whitney Cummings is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's a sad disparity of bells.
Bingo.
All right, let's talk about tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show. We have Miss Double December Brittany on the phone tomorrow.
The liar.
The liar.
The cheater.
What did she do? What did she do?
Why are we watching? The lying liar who lies.
Why is there, why are you saying bad things about Brittany?
We're relatively sure that the ice bucket challenge has ended, right? I mean, it's pretty much.
No one's really doing it anymore.
Right?
Yeah.
You remember that from a few months ago, right?
I do remember the white hot popularity.
She was challenged, and she did say it was going to take her maybe a week.
To find some water?
A month ago or whenever it was. I don't remember what it was.
Never did it. Just never, ever did it.
Right.
Huh. This is the equivalent of, oh, no, I'm totally going to donate to that charity, and then you just never get around to sending the check. You know what I mean? Like, you get all the credit for being involved, but you don't actually follow through. So what's her damage?
We also have the movie beat because it is Friday. We're going to talk to Tom Morello about a festival called Rock Out 2 at the Ford Theater. We're going to talk to a friend of ours. This is going to sound like a joke. He was at Burning Man and got hit by lightning. At Burning Man.
Wow.
Got hit by lightning.
Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
Right. Not that lightning, right?
No, not that lightning. Actual lightning from the sky.
The natural phenomenon of lightning.
Yeah. And Seth Green joins us in studio tomorrow morning as well.